What happens when what you are told and what you think is so don't align? What happens when what you are told is so, hey, the sky is falling, is contradicted by exactly the same people who told you the sky is falling? Who can you trust if everyone seems to be untrustworthy? It's a big question with big implications. How can you find your way out of that mesh of manipulation to find peace and quiet? The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 291, Food and Freedom, once a week for life. Dan Reed here. Welcome back to the show. I'm a reality factualist. Now, that phrase may make you chuckle. You may laugh since you've read some of my social media posts. You may think the last thing I know is reality. For this episode, I'm using the very documents provided by the very people I intend to resist. My goal is to show you that they mean all of us no good thing indeed. All right, folks, grab your tinfoil hats. We're going deep into the weeds. I want to let you know up front that this episode goes to some areas most people don't want to go. There are sinister forces at play that mean us harm. In the process of doing all of that, they get fat stacks and mad power. The World Economic Forum isn't going away, at least not anytime soon, probably. That means they are keeping at their great reset plans, even if they've dumped the branding. Of specific interest to this show is the food part. Now, I did a show about the Great Reset and the Great Food Transformation, and I'll link to that in the show notes. By way of a brief recap, the Great Reset is the planned destruction of present-day capitalism, which will be replaced by a monarchical form of governance that will attempt to plan and implement the economies of the world country by country, with the help of the shareholder corporations and select individuals. The World Economic Forum will work with the World Health Organization. You are welcome to read that as Bill Gates, EAT, Lancet, and many food corporations to minimize or eliminate meat consumption and focus on what is essentially a vegan starvation diet. Keep in mind that as meat is consumed less, the need for animals is reduced. Think through that progression for about 10 steps and see if you are as horrified as I am. The Great Reset has been underappreciated by the world. That made Klaus unhappy. It seems the masses are not as eager to be puppets more than they already are, which is contrary to what Klaus Schwab had either hoped or expected. In addition to food management, the Great Reset was to manage technology, environment, social, and economic matters, culminating into transhumanism. Don't really know what the end is yet. Well, that's not true. That's also getting less plain now, that transhumanism part. Feel certain that all these plans are still in play, perhaps mostly the culling of millions of humans. That's the end part. They have never been quiet about their goals. They is the WEF. It's just that no one took them at that word for how outrageous their word seemed. One detail to keep in mind is that the WEF has many corporations in its hip pocket. The WEF calls them partners or sponsors or shareholders. From the WEF partner page, they write this about their partners. Quote, World Economic Forum partners are leading global companies developing solutions to the world's greatest challenges. They are the driving force behind the forum's programs, end quote. They don't really tell you what the programs are, but if you pay careful attention, listen to what they say, it's pretty easy to figure out. Now, there's a corporatocracy in play that's for another show and probably for somebody else's show. News corporations, think anyone you can think of, and that, yes, includes Fox. Food and beverage corporations, international banking are just some of the many companies in this corporate regime. It might sound like it's hyperbole to say they have their tentacles in nearly every corporation that impacts humanity. You might think that's conspiracy theory talk. For you who have skills at debunking such claims, this should be short work for you. The focus of this episode is on the recent post from the WEF about food and the need, their word, to change nearly all aspects of food to preserve any chance at a future as a species and as a planet. Sounds hyperbolic. More specifically, it is a show picking apart the language used to convey this message and impart the message itself. It's propaganda. An overused and an accurate phrase. More generally, it is gaslighting, telling you something that isn't so to make you question your senses about what you see and what sounds right. The article from June 13, 2024 is called Feeding the Future: Why Renovation and Reinvention Are Key to Saving Our Food System, and starts with this paragraph, quote, Our global food system is in urgent need of transition. At present, one-third of anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions come from food production. At the same time, the global production is projected to reach nearly 10 billion people by 2050, which could increase the demand for food by 60%. Many of the ways we grow, manufacture, and consume food are causing a dual crisis in human and environmental health, and the complexity will only intensify. End quote. I want to apologize. I meant to say global population. I said something wrong, but that was, you probably figured that part out. Well, that's one heck of an opening. The greenhouse gas emissions and demand for food in this article are hyperlinked. So the greenhouse gas link goes to a 2021 nature.com page that identifies growth, which mentions they have a new way to measure greenhouse gas emissions. They write, quote, Edgar-Food, that's all caps, provides a complete and consistent database in time and space of GHG emissions from the global food system, from production to consumption, including processing, transport, and packaging. It responds to the lack of detailed data from many countries by providing sectoral contributions to food system emissions that are essential for the design of effective mitigation actions, end quote. That last part means that they're guessing. They have no idea, but they won't let the lack of data interfere with their plans to mess with the world's food system. The other link, population, was posted to the United Nations page on June 2012. Yes, 12 years ago. That date, 2012, isn't random. In 1992, the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro was held. The Rio Plus 20 meeting was to be held after this article was posted, and that's the 20-year span. This article is worth reading. a few interesting points from that UN post. They acknowledge factory or industrial farming is a problem. It remains a really big one. Now, there are several parts of that that's a big problem. One of the big problems for animal factory farming is the tight confines, close proximity, rampant disease, massive abuse of hormones and steroids and antibiotics, the problem with factory farming on an agricultural scale is monocrops, destruction of the soil and ecosystems with crazy amounts of pesticides, and then the animals that feed off of that just, so it becomes bad fast. So yes, factory farming is a horror. The point, to the point of population, and at least some commentary on projections and imperfect knowledge, they write, quote, according to estimates compiled by the Food and Agricultural Organization, by 2050, we will need to produce 60% more food to feed a world population of 9.3 billion. Doing that with a farming-as-usual approach will take too heavy a toll on our natural resources, end quote. All right, so now we're getting some meat. Currently and approximately, the Earth's population is 8,118,000,000 people, according to the World Population Clock. Here's where it starts to get interesting. The WEF has at least the same access to information that I do. Let's start with this tweet, originally from the Daily Mail. I saw it just a couple of days ago. I don't have a date for its publication. The tweet is a tad long. It begins this way. Europe faces potential depopulation catastrophe. According to researchers, countries need a birth rate of 2.1 children per woman to maintain a stable population. However, in Europe, the figures are far below that and could result in staggering social change, according to medical journal The Lancet. No country in the EU has a birth rate above 2.1, leading some politicians to fear that the number of young people will begin to drop like a stone. Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, I guess, has now mounted a family first campaign backed by the Pope to try and boost the number of births to 500,000 annually within a decade. The EU's statistics and data service Eurostat predicts that by 2100, without any interventions, those age 65 and over will account for 32% of the population compared to 22% today. Unless European birth rates increase, The Lancet claims, quote, reliance on open immigration will become necessary to sustain economic growth, end quote. Now, before you get all nervous and angsty, this is not an immigration episode. That is a dire prediction. Europe might be in big trouble. CNN.com on March 21, 2024 had this headline, quote, global fertility rates to plunge in decades ahead, new report says, end quote. Well, now it's global. The Wall Street Journal webpage wrote on May 13th, 2024, a post with this headline, quote, suddenly there aren't enough babies. The whole world is alarmed, end quote. The National Center for Biotechnology Information in 2009 wrote, quote, declining birth rates in developing countries. A radical policy rethink is required, end quote. Oh, wait, there's more. ThinkGlobalHealth.org, March 20, 2024. Global fertility rates continue to fall. How governments could prepare. Reuters.com, March 20, 2024, offered this. Global fertility rates to decline, shifting population burden to low income countries. Also, similar headlines and articles from the United Nations Population Fund, CNBC, BBC, Statista.com, TheEconomist.com, Euronews.com, AEI.org, and interestingly, the WEF, which wrote in 2022, quote, "For the last 70 years, utility rates have decreased worldwide with a total 50% decline," end quote. So here's the first question. How did the writer of the piece miss this one from 2002? How can we be expected to take them at their word when they are shown to be lying? Many of those posts from those sources are around the March 2024 timeframe, which means most likely they're climbing on the headline click bandwagon. Some of those posts are not that. At the opening of the show, I told you to get your tinfoil hat. Aluminum foil, probably nowadays, but in any case, it's going to get weird. It can get weirder, and some shows go there. I'm stopping short of Willoughby. Klaus Schwab was an intern for Henry Kissinger in the early 1970s. Kissinger is reported to have said, quote, "Control oil, you control nations. Control food, and you control the people," end quote. There are various versions of that exact quote. Did he or didn't he say that? I don't know. I feel pretty confident he did, and also feel pretty confident that it was in 1973. That's not the point. Point is, young Klaus learned about control and controlling people from his mentor, Henry Kissinger. For you too young to recall, Kissinger served in the White House for 8 consecutive administrations, both Republican and Democrat. He was National Security Advisor and Secretary of State for Nixon and continued as Secretary of State for Carter. He served in 6 other administrations as an advisor, and probably in most cases as foreign policy, scare quotes, expert. The reason to give you his resume isn't to highlight his genius. The reason to give you his resume is to show that Republicans and Democrats rely on the same guy for years and years for foreign policy advice. The reason is to show you that R and D aren't that very different, as they both get paid from the same checking account. As it relates to our program, Kissinger did offer that the world population needs to decrease by 50%. And now we're back to the WEF and the Great Reset and the Great Food Transformation. And that brings us back to EAT Lancet and the World Health Organization plans to reduce to near zero the consumption of animal sources of protein. Let's review. In 1992, there was a meeting about managing the food for the next 20 years. Birth rates start to decline, causing the world to be concerned about the replacement of humans. Despite this, overpopulation is a concern, so plans to reduce the population are conceived and implemented. Earlier in those quotes, one read how governments can prepare. Allow me to present Hungary. Hungary in 2019. On February 11, 2019, BBC.com published a post with the headline, quote, "Hungary tries for baby boom with tax breaks and loan forgiveness," end quote. The first 2 paragraphs read, quote, "Hungarian women with 4 children or more will be exempted for life from paying income tax," the prime minister said, unveiling plans designed to boost the number of babies born. "It is a way of defending Hungary's future without depending on immigration," Viktor Orban said, end quote. The plan gets political rapidly. Starving 1 billion people is political. extermination or starvation or converting them to transhuman is political. Are you still wearing your hat? Correlation is not causation. Jabs have had some negative patient care outcomes. That, of course, depends on what you think the outcome was supposed to be. Also, according to Justice Sonia Sotomayor, if it walks like a duck, then it's a duck. The population crisis has been looming for longer than jabs have been given out. If you've been paying attention, season 2 of the Plandemic is coming soon. I've seen the trailers, so I know that that's true. So far, all of this episode is from that one paragraph from that WEF post. The whole article reads like a sales copy. Frankly, it is. The next paragraph includes this, quote, "Reorienting to a low-carbon economy requires intervention at every level of strategy. For example, industries must adopt new sources of power such as solar and wind. Companies must develop new technologies like batteries and storage," those aren't new, "and consumers must shift modes of consumption through energy cooperatives and electric vehicle use," end quote. The whole piece is aimed at those who agree. I imagine the writer seeing the reader nodding in agreement. As Chris Voss, the FBI negotiator, says, yes is nothing without how. How will they make these changes? Did anyone tell them that the carbon and human cost for low-carbon solutions is extreme? Probably. Do I think they care for one moment about that? No. No, I do not. As with all propaganda, there is a part that is fact. It is woven almost inextricably with that which is false. To get the benefit, and here there is some benefit, you must accept the harm, and here there is some harm. The net result is not, however, neutral, as it would seem, but net negative. In this paragraph, and this is the last one for today, they offer this, quote, "Renovation is the first stage of the food transition. It prioritizes the immediate reduction of more harmful ingredients and components in our food, including excessive levels of salt, sugar, fat, and additives. Renovation can also enhance a product's nutritional profile, such as by adding more fiber or micronutrients. Though the product level impact is small, the overall contribution to diet can be significant. For example, if one multinational food company adds whole grain to its main product line of snacks, it can increase Americans' fiber intake by 5% by 2030. By prioritizing nutritional reformulation, we can mitigate adverse effects on public health, including the rise of chronic disease such as obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular conditions," end quote. Well, if this person couldn't find a post from the very same website, I don't know who this is, this person writes for, I'm assuming a few things there, then they sure can't figure out that the American diet is absolute shite, and putting more grain, read sugar, into an already abusive system is not going to improve health outcomes. This whole thing is basically, and not just this page, the whole WF is basically, and this is impressive, it's a psyop. It's huge. It's magnificently complex. It took who knows how many years to write this, but this is a psyop. You are being conned on all levels. It's nonstop. It just won't let up until you agree and then die. Sugar is bad. They got that part right. Fiber is not the panacea they want you to think it is. salt and good fat, a distinction they do not make, is good for you. I'll agree additives are bad in general. I did a whole episode about that with Mira last 290. If your source for nutritional information is WebMD or some other mainstream website, you will find that this information tracks. That's to the head nodding, fist thumping supporters, which they expect to reach. It is only half right, and the harms caused by such a thing are immense. Along with the glyphosate on the wheat, whole wheat or elsewise is not a benefit to human health. If you read the article, know that when they mention alternative proteins, they mean bugs. To use a phrase that maybe is wrong, authoritarians, oligarchs, egomaniacal thugs, think centralized planning is the only way to go because it gives them the power. The solution is community. And that starts with you and your neighbors. It starts with you and your family, then you and your family and your neighbors. The solution to the issue is form your own little community. Grow your own and eat organic as much as you can. Eat mostly meat, cheese, and eggs. Some plants if you must. It is still early in the year to make a garden network. Take a potted tomato to your neighbor. Ask the neighbor, can I let this grow on your back porch? I'll come over and I'll use your hose to water it. And when the bounty comes in, pay tribute in tomatoes to the homeowner for letting you do that. And then take the rest of them home and can them or stew them or something. Find another neighbor that likes okra. If corn grows where you live, grow corn. You get the idea. There's a way to take garden-ready plants to your neighbors and grow a community-wide garden in pots. It can happen. I agree with them that transforming the food system is a great and grand idea. It really needs to happen. I disagree 1,000,000,000% that any government or self-appointed monarch is the right choice to decide how that is to be done and what it looks like. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll put the link to the WEF article that started this whole thing on the show notes page. That page does have in it the population link and the UN link. And maybe that's the same thing, but it has the two links I referenced. That UN article on population, it really is worth reading. It's, even if it's 24 or 12 years old, it's got some interesting things in there. And the concessions that they seem to make, I'm not sure reading it now with what I know today about it, I'm not sure they would make those agreements. They would agree that factory farming is bad. They might. I don't know. It's hard to avoid. I mentioned Mira in the ingredient episode. From last episode, 290. I was shopping for coconut milk the other day. I really like highly caramelized cauliflower with curry and coconut milk. I think it's fantastic. So coconut milk, how difficult can that be? Coconut milk, that's it, right? Well, polysorbate 60 was in every version of coconut milk offered in this store. I had to look it up. It's an emulsifier. It sounds like a sugar to me, and I don't know why. I didn't dive deep, so I'm not entirely certain it isn't a sugar, but it emulsifies things that normally would be separated. Now, the FDA says it's safe, but you'll give me a pass if I don't hold them as a good standard of what is and is not safe. So I bought the can, feeling a bit frustrated that I couldn't just go buy a coconut and make my own. Which leads to the other problem of Is polysorbate 60 necessary in quota milk? Is all of the crap added to the cans of foods we buy necessary? And why is it so hard to just get the thing we want? Checking the ingredients matters, and polysorbate 60 might actually be perfectly inert. I don't know the answer to that yet. But the fact that I can't opt out and get just plain what I want, a little irritating. Anyway, have a good week, and I'll see you soon.
Music for the Culinary Libertarian podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.